Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Mountain Baptist Church. Take your songbooks and turn to song 392. Song 392 in your songbooks. We'll sing A Soul Winner for Jesus. And if you would stand, we'll sing song 392. I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. He does so much for me. I want to aid the lost sinner to leave his erring way and be from bondage free. A soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus, he me be each day. A soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus, he does so much for me. I want to be a soul winner and bring the lost to Christ, that they his grace may know. I want to live for Christ ever and do his blessed will, because he loves me so. A soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus, home let me be each day. A soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus, he does so much for me. I want to be a soul winner till Jesus calls for me to lay my burdens down. I want to hear him say, servant, you've gathered many sheep, receive a starry crown. A soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus, oh, let me be each day. A soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus, he done so much for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just want to thank you, God, for this Sunday that you've given us. Lord, thank you for the sermon this morning, the souls that were saved today and throughout last week. And now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would meet with us, fill our pastor with your power and spirit. We love you, for it's in Jesus' name we ask all of it. Amen. All right, you may be seated and take your Mountain Baptist psalms, hymns, and spiritual songbooks and turn to page number 2. Page number 2, we'll sing Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor take up reproach against his neighbor. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, in whose eyes a vile person is as content, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, in whose eyes of a person as content, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that put not out his money to usury, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?
Breaking stuff. Amen. Welcome back to Mountain Baptist Church on this Sunday afternoon. And let me get some announcements here. First thing I want to get is the soul winning numbers for the past week. So last week we had 9, but I don't think we didn't count the ones from out west. So there were 3 from out west. So 3 was during the week. I know we had some, right? One Monday. Was there any? One Wednesday. Is there any else during the week? One yesterday. So that's up to 6 before today. And then today, I know Brother Richie, you guys had 4, right? Yeah, so 4. Our group had 1, so that's 5. What's that? Okay, so that's 6. Who else? Was there any others besides that? Is that 6? Okay. So 6 plus our 6 earlier in the week, so that's 12. So 12 for the week. So good job with the soul winning. And then as far as the announcements, everything's the same as this morning. All our service times, obviously, this coming week, as far as Wednesday, should be normal. Our service times next Sunday are going to be normal. Obviously, we're going to have some people filling in for the preaching times there. But as far as the soul winning times, we're just going to keep everything normal there. Now, when it comes to the regional soul winning times the next week, not this week, but next week, Brother Richie and Brother Wade, we're all going to be out there, so... obviously, when it comes to those times, I'm not going to be here for that. So that will be a little different next week. The women's prayer meeting this coming Saturday, and then be in prayer for this Greece mission trip that we're doing out to Athens. And so be in prayer for the safety and travels there. Brother Dave's afraid that we're not going to make it. So, yeah, he's writing out his will as we speak. We're going to hit a little bit of turbulence. He's going to start screaming like a little girl. Like, just a little bump. He's like, is this normal? Is this normal? When was the last time you flew, brother? Are you serious? Oh, this is going to be fun. Anyway, so be in prayer for us that everything goes well with the trip and everything. But also, you know, mainly that it's fruitful. Hopefully the reception out there is good, especially with the younger crowd and everything. So we're hoping that it'll be a good reception. So just be in prayer there. Our chapter memory for the month is still Malachi 2. Obviously, next month we'll be going into Malachi 3. So if you're memorizing through there and you're already in chapter 3, or you're in chapter 1, just keep chugging along. And don't forget that if you memorize like these books like this, like Malachi, or books that have like 3 or 4 chapters in them, you can win a prize of like a nice Bible. If you do 2 of those types of books, we have an even nicer Bible. Don't forget about that. Our memory verse for the week is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. That's memory verse. We got the birthdays, anniversaries, be in prayer for all the pregnant ladies. We have 6 ladies on here as of right now, so just be in prayer for all of them. And, the one thing I was going to mention this morning, and I forgot about it, but Pastor Anderson has been dealing with a back issue, like debilitating back issue. He had to get in an ambulance and go to the ER when he was in Sacramento, and he was there for, you know, like 24 hours in the ER, and then they finally got him a room and all that stuff. And then last I heard from him, he's out of the hospital, but he's still like bedridden, like can't move, like pain, all this stuff. So I don't know if they figured out what it is. I don't know, but obviously he'd been traveling, he'd been driving, even just riding in a car for like 7,000 miles. I don't know if that's it or not, but just be in prayer for him, that'll kind of pass and see what's going on with that. But I meant to mention that this morning, but just be in prayer for him and his church and everything else, because, yeah, he was coming to the end there. He still had to go to like Fresno and then to L.A., and obviously he's not doing that. So
there's 2 more. The guy named Jerry, they got 2 saved.
That was here?
Yeah.
Okay. So 14.
It's in the town of Toronto.
Okay. Okay, so 14 salvations. Thanks for that. So be in prayer for Pastor Anderson. And hopefully that'll all get better soon and all that. So guess he's not doing the Spartan race with us. We were talking about doing that at one point. He was going to come out and do that with us. So, guess this is what happens when you turn 42. I think he's 42 this year. So he just turned 42, and then his back goes out. So, but be in prayer for him. And obviously, hopefully, everything works out there. I think that's about all I got for announcements. The offering box is in the back there, and the mother baby room is for the mothers and babies only. We're going to do 1 more song, and then Brother Wade's going to be reading 2 Peter chapter 1 for us.
All right, take your psalm books and turn to Psalm 293. Song 293, we'll sing as you're all on the altar. Song 293.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does a spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, your all you must lay. Christ laid. Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and at peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and at peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made. Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when your all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and at peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1 in your Bibles, and we'll have Brother Wade come and read that for us.
Second Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the diverse divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Dear Lord, let us hear your word and get something from your message tonight. Be with Pastor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So you're there in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we are continuing our study through this passage dealing with adding to your faith. And we are up to brotherly kindness, and we have one more after that, charity. But let's just read that passage there. In verse 5, it says, "Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness." So brotherly kindness, it just makes me think of the next one's charity. And you may say, well, you know, are those the same? Well, I think there's a lot of similarities there, but brotherly kindness is more of a specific group of people. And when you think about the fact that in Galatians 6, it says, "As you have therefore opportunity, do good unto all men, especially they who are of the household of faith." And the idea there is that, obviously, do good unto all men, but specifically, we hone in on the brethren, the saved, you know, all those that are of the family of God. And so the way I kind of look at this is that charity is kind of, obviously would encompass the brotherly kindness, but that you're kind of reaching out broader on the next one there. So, but go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. And this brotherly kindness, I believe, is linked with brotherly love. And don't let people think, oh, you know, is that say phileo there? You know, so it's brotherly love. You know, that people try to sell you a bill of goods. You go back to the Greek and you can see, well, is that brotherly love or is that godly love? And just know that they're selling you a bill of goods when they say stuff like that. But listen, brotherly love, that's what it says in the original, and that's what it means now. But you don't have to go back to the Greek to figure that out. You have your King James Bible right there. Like I said, what this is dealing with is loving the brethren, okay? Loving those that are saved and being kind unto those that are saved. And verse 9 here of Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." So you think about being without dissimulation, basically not being fake or vain. It's something that's real. Like when you love somebody, it's real. It's not, you're not putting on a show. It's not a pretense. It's real love that you actually care about the person. Verse 10 there, it says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." And so there's obviously a lot of things that we should do, but notice that it's starting off here with love, and it's also stating that we need to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. So when we're talking about brotherly kindness, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with brotherly love, but I think that kindness gets in there, and the fact that we're not just loving out of duty, you know, it's not just like, well, it's a mechanical thing. No, we're actually trying to be kind. We want to be kind. We want to, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to be known as being a kind person and not being some, like, just a jerk, right? So if you're to look at this, it's like, be kind to the brethren. Don't be a jerk to everybody, right? And just kind of putting it on the bottom shelf there. But go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, because this is something that we need to remember to have when it comes to being around the brethren when we're in church. And I know I preached a sermon about unity and being of one accord. Listen, it's gonna be hard to be in unity and be of all of one accord and one mind if we're all just a bunch of jerks to each other. We need to obviously be putting on that kindness and trying to be kind one to another and all that. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another." And I'm going to be getting into that and the fact that, you know, God teaches us how we ought to love one another because of how he loves us. And obviously that's an example to us. But in verse 10 there, it says, "And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." So when you think about in 2 Peter, it says, "If these things be in you and abound," right? That you'll never fall and that you'll not be barren nor unfruitful. And the idea is that, okay, we have brotherly love, but it needs to abound. We need to, you're being kind, okay, well, keep it up, right? The idea is that when he's speaking to them, he's not saying they're lacking in this. He's just saying, hey, just do it more and more. Keep going. Do it more than you're doing, you know, yesterday. Just be kind to one another, brotherly love, and to increase more and more. Now go to Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. So I want you to see some places where it talks about brotherly love or loving the brethren. And so this is brought up a lot in the New Testament. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. And I think about this, obviously when you think about entertaining strangers, it's just being kind to them, right? I mean, the idea there is that you entertain them, you take care of them, you basically help them out. And he's basically saying sometimes you're entertaining angels and you don't even realize it. But the idea here is just being kind to one another, but also remembering those that are in bonds, right? You think about those brethren that are dealing with things, you know, whether it's bonds, whether it's sicknesses, whether it's, you know, whatever they're dealing with, it's just remembering them, which are suffering adversity. And I think I have the verse in Proverbs where it talks about a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And the idea of being brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, and the fact that we are brethren, we're a family, and, you know, that's born for adversity, to deal with adversity. And that bond that's there with that, the idea that we're all children of God. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So when you think about being kind, it's kind of what you're dealing with here, right? And being pitiful is not being like, woe is me, like that person's just really a pitiful person over there. No, the idea is there is that you have pity on people, right? That you're compassionate towards them. Like when someone says that they have an issue, you're not just like, suck it up, buttercup. Now, if it's like, if it's your friend that you know should suck it up, and sometimes tough love does apply, you know? And, you know, if you don't go to the gym, then you need to suck it up and go. But, so obviously, you know, but you know what I'm talking about, though, is like when you're dealing with real issues and someone's dealing with something, is to have pity on that person, you know? Show them pity, show them courtesy, and just manners, right? Having manners, being courteous to one another, saying excuse me if you're, like, trying to get through. You don't just plow through people. And, you know, just things like that. Now, obviously, we need to teach our children this. But if we don't do it as adults, our children are going to emulate what we do. And so we want to be courteous to everyone. We want to show pity on people that are dealing with issues or adversities. And it says in verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are there unto call that ye should inherit a blessing. So where this really comes into play, that this heart, because you say, okay, well, of course we should be kind. Of course we should be courteous. Okay, be kind and courteous when someone is not being kind and courteous to you, though. Right? That's where it gets hard. And they're a brother in Christ, but someone's not kind and courteous to you, then that's when you have to turn this on. That's when it gets hard, okay? And that's what it's really stating, is that if someone renders evil to you, you don't just throw back evil at them. No, you're just courteous, kind, and you pity them, right? I mean, think if someone was just, they just didn't treat you well, but then something really bad happened to them, or some, like, a family member died. You don't just be like, well, good for you. Right, you don't just act like that to that person. No, you be there. You console them. You pity them. You know, like, you obviously want to be courteous to them, and God will bless you for that. But also that'll bless that relationship. And obviously, even enemies, that if you're good to your enemies, then a lot of times it's going to heap coals of fire upon their head, and they're going to feel bad a lot in a lot of cases for treating you bad if you're just nothing but good to them. So we need to be cognizant of this. And like I said, that's when it gets hard. It's usually easy to be kind to people that are kind to you, right? It's easy to love someone that loves you. It's harder to deal with that when you have brethren that aren't being courteous, right? And aren't being kind. Maybe they chew with their mouth open, you know? That's probably the worst thing I can think about right now. I'm thinking of manners, you know, having good manners. You know, corrupt communication. What's the verse where it says, it's in 1 Corinthians 15, but I'm messing it up. You know what verse I'm talking about? Evil communications corrupt good manners. That's it. So evil communications corrupt good manners. And is there anything more evil than chewing with your mouth open, crunching your food, all that? But, you know, I'm being a little facetious there. I'm being a little funny when I'm saying that. But honestly, there are little things like that that'll cause you to just not want to be nice to somebody. You know, it's where they'll just like trigger you to be like, nuts that person. They can take their tuna and go somewhere else. They can, you know, whatever, right? So we need to be, and especially with our building, I just think about our close proximity that we have to everybody. And we're growing and we're all on top of each other. It's easy. It gets hot in here and everybody's just, it could be very easy for us to just get testy with one another and just be not courteous and not be kind to one another when it comes to that. So we need to be thinking about this and something that we need to add on there. And obviously we're adding this on to our faith is to have this brotherly kindness. Now what I want you to see here, go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 is that when we're dealing with brotherly kindness or brotherly love, is that spiritually speaking, we have it. You know, it's there. And when you understand the old man, the new man, the inner man, the outer man, the spirit, soul, compared to the body or the flesh, when you understand that, then this verse is going to make a lot of sense. If you don't understand that, you're going to be like, what in the world? It seems like a contradiction. It seems like it's a conundrum. You know, it just seems like it doesn't make sense of what he's saying. But it says in verse 22, seeing you have purified your what? Your souls, and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. So when you purified your souls by faith, you know, or through the truth, obeying the truth, it was unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And then it goes on to say, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So at first you're like, well, I was already purified unto unfeigned love of the brethren. But when you understand that your soul is, your inner man loves the brethren. And nothing changes that. That love of the brethren is there. If you're saved, it's there. It's inside there. But your flesh, it's not. So if you're not loving the brethren, and this is something that I'm going to show you with 1 John, that the whole book of 1 John kind of deals with this subject. If you're not loving your brethren, then you're not walking in the new man. Period. And if you don't love the brethren, then it's just showing you're walking in the flesh. And why? Because the soul has an unfeigned love of the brethren. Your inner man has an unfeigned love of the brethren, and if you're walking in it, then you have unfeigned love of the brethren. But the reason that he's saying, see that you love one another with pure heart fervently, is because the reality is that we don't always walk in the new man. So that's a commandment that we have to put on the new man, that we have to walk in that new man, and we have to love the brethren. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And notice what it says here in verse 15. It says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Listen, we're free in Christ, and we have the new man and all this. But don't just because you're saved and all that, don't use that as a cloak to basically just do whatever you want. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So, yeah, we have the liberty to, you know, it's like when people are like, well, if you get saved and you believe that it's just by faith alone, then you can do whatever you want. Technically, yes. I mean, you have eternal life and nothing can change that. But that doesn't mean that there's not consequences for your actions. And you don't really truly have liberty because you're in bondage to the sin of your flesh if you indulge that. So you're not really free at that point. But if you are looking into the perfect law of liberty and you're following that perfect law of liberty, then are you free? And, you know, people that are like anarchists, they just kind of, their head just explodes. Like, well, there can't be, can't have true freedom if you have laws. Well, you know what? The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The wisdom of the Word of God is that the law of God, that's where liberty's at. The Spirit of God is where liberty's at. And those that keep the perfect law of liberty are going to be free. And so, and obviously the Word of God talks about you'll be free indeed and all that. So when it comes to this, we have the inner man that has this unfeigned love of the brethren. And I kind of want to just explain a little bit of 1 John just to kind of help you understand 1 John when it comes to loving the brethren, because that book is a lot about loving the brethren to a point where you're just like, if I don't love the brethren, am I not saved? Right? Because that's kind of what it looks like sometimes, doesn't it? And people obviously try to take that out of context. But what you have to understand with the book of 1 John is that it was written so that your joy might be full and that you would walk in the light and have fellowship with the Father and the Son. And there are places where these things are written that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, in context, you're talking about being born again and about, you know, believing the record, which is eternal life. But in other passages, it says these things have been written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So there's many things that 1 John is touching on. So you can't just look at 1 John and be like, it's all about salvation. The book of John, on the other hand, is written so that you might believe and that you might have faith in him and might have life through his name, right? That's the Gospel of John, you can make that argument. The book of 1 John, there's actually many things that are being written. Your joy may be full concerning them that seduce you, that you may know that you have eternal life. So, I mean, there's obviously salvation is in there, but you're going to more so look at chapter 5 when you're looking at that. But when you're looking at 1 John, look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7. The idea of loving your brethren is something that's just a big theme in 1 John. And 2 and 3 John, honestly. I mean, if you think about 3 John, he's writing to the well-beloved Gaius, and he's basically praying that he would prosper even as his soul prospereth, right? Like, he's wanting him to prosper. He's wanting him to succeed. And there's no greater joy than I hear that my children walk in truth. You know, like, there's just this idea of this kindness and love that he has to the brethren. Or the people that you went to the Lord, your children in the faith, if you will. But in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7 here, it says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and true light now shineth. Now, when you first read this, you're kind of like, what is the commandment, right? Now, in 2 John and other places, it'll state that this is the commandment that you love one another, right? And the reason that he's stating here, I don't write a new commandment, but an old commandment that you have from the beginning, that you should love one another. The reason it's new is because when Jesus states this in the book of John, he's stating that you should love one another as I have loved you. That's what's new about it, is that you have Jesus as an example. Remember how it said in 1 Thessalonians that you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. We're taught of God because we see how Jesus loved us, right? And he's not ashamed to call us brethren. That there's no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's going to be mentioned in this as well in 1 John. But the idea here is that we're talking about loving the brethren. We're talking about loving one another. And he's basically saying, I'm not writing a new commandment because this is from the beginning. It's not like it's new to love one another or to love the brethren. It's just the fact that, hey, apply what Jesus just did, how he died for us, gave his life for us, and everything that he did, and that he loved them unto the end. Remember that he states that, you know, in his prayers that I've loved them to the end, and that he loved him all the way through his ministry, through his life, and obviously he still loves us, but keep reading there. It says in verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness until now. Now, in context, in 1 John, what are we talking about? Walking in the light, aren't we? Walking in darkness or walking in the light? Well, if you are the light of the world, it says, ye are light in the Lord, walk ye as children of light. The idea here is that we have unfeigned love of the brethren inside of us, right, in our souls. We are light of the Lord in our souls. The question is, are you walking in it, though? If you don't love your brethren, if you don't love your brother, then you are walking in darkness. That's what it's teaching. And it says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness had blinded his eyes. Now I want you to think about that. This darkness had blinded his eyes because he doesn't love his brother. He actually hates his brother. And by the way, we are never to hate the brethren. There's no case. It doesn't mean that you can't be angry with your brother. Because it says, now it's wrong to be angry with your brother without a cause. You can be angry with your brother, but you're never to hate your brother. And it's stating that you're walking in darkness, that darkness had blinded your eyes. Think about this, that in 2 Peter chapter 1, dealing with adding to your faith all these different things, right? It says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, and if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Notice how that links up with the idea of having this brotherly kindness, having this brotherly love, that if you don't love your brother, you're abiding in darkness. That's a big deal. And he that, you know, but if you love your brother, you're abiding in the light. And 1 John is really touching on the fact of abiding in Christ or not abiding in Christ. It's not talking about being saved or not being saved. It's talking about abiding in Christ. He that abideth in Christ sinneth not, by the way. You're like, well, you know, someone that's saved is going to always abide in Christ. Then you're going to say that someone that's saved never sins. And that would contradict 1 John chapter 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So when it says he that abideth in him sinneth not, that, you know what that means? Is that abiding in the light, you're not sinning. If you're abiding in the light, then you're not hating your brother. And the converse would apply, meaning this, is that if you hate your brother, you're not abiding in the light. So we need to remember that if we're hating on our brother, we're not abiding in the light. And just like 2 Peter, is that if these things don't abound, if you don't have these things and they abound, if you don't have brotherly kindness and it abounds, then you're blind and cannot see afar off. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall because you're not walking in the light. You're not abiding in Christ. It says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11, and listen, there's a time to hate, but that time to hate is never on the brethren. We are never to hate the brethren. That doesn't mean you have to like everybody. I hope that makes sense, right? It doesn't mean I have to be friends with everybody. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So you can't expect, if you're not going to be kind to one another, you can't expect to have a whole bunch of friends. And if you don't have a whole bunch of friends, then maybe you should check whether you're being kind. Right? It seems like those that aren't kind, or they always think it's someone else's problem, right? It's not my, it can't be me. I can't be the problem. And maybe sometimes you need to look in the mirror and say, hey, am I actually being friendly to other people? Am I actually being kind? Am I being courteous? Or maybe people just tolerate me because they have to. Because the Bible says to not hate the brethren, right? Make this easier on us all, okay? Don't make it be like, the Bible says I can't hate you. I'm going to not hate you because the Bible says so. Instead of just being like, I don't want to hate you. Why would I hate you, right? You see how much easier that would be if you were just, like, nice and you were kind to one another to where it's not, I'm not, listen, I don't look at Lily and just be like, you're lucky, Lily, that the Bible says I should not hate a sister in Christ. You know, I'm embarrassing her right now. I don't have to, like, look at that. I'm just like, no, she's nice. I've never heard her say anything cross or anything like that. I'm sure her dad could speak up and say something, but the idea there is that I'm not like thinking about this verse and be like, I can't hate the brethren. Can't hate the brethren. Lily, you're lucky. I can't hate the brethren. You know? So obviously, who this applies to when you're dealing with this don't hate the brethren is people that aren't being kind to you. People that are like trying to push you to hate them, you know? And so as brethren, you know what we should do is just make this easier on everybody else and just be kind to everybody. Be kind to one another and so that this isn't a problem. But even if it does become a problem where someone's not being kind, we need to not sin ourselves. Listen, if they want to sin and be nasty and be, you know, speak evil and like all these different things, then let them bear their judgment. But we don't want to be going down that dark hole with them. Now, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another." Remember, this is the old commandment, you should love one another. The new commandment is that we need to love one another as Christ loved us, right? But then it goes on to say, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." Now, we're dealing with a child of the devil here. So we're dealing with a very sharp dichotomy of children of God and children of the devil. And children of the devil, they hate the brethren to the point where they want to kill them, right? Because you can think about this on, like, these are two actual brothers, right, Cain and Abel. But you can think about this in the fact of, like, they hate the brethren, right? The children of the devil hate the children of God. And just so you know, the children of God should hate these ones over here, okay? But the thing is that they want to actually kill us just for being good, right? But it says here, "Marvel not, my brethren, that the world hates you." So we're not to marvel at that the world hates us or that the children of the devil hate us, right? That should be no marvel. But it says in verse 14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Now, when you look at that, if you're looking at this passage, you just think, okay, I know I'm saved because I love the brethren. Well, technically, yes, in the fact that if you're saved, in your inner man, you have unfeigned love of the brethren. But in 1 John 5, it states that in verse 2 of 1 John 5, 2, it says, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." There's ways to know whether you're saved. Obviously, we know we're saved because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But it also talks about the Spirit within us. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And there are ways to where you can just be like, I'm saved because I love the brethren, right? There's this unfeigned love of the brethren. When you run into someone that believes that it's salvation by grace through faith and that it's eternal life, you can't lose your salvation, there's just automatic love for that person, isn't there? And you can't really explain it, but you're just like, I love that person, right? There's just this unfeigned love of the brethren. Now, another way to look at this is that you're walking in the new man when you love the brethren, right? Because what has passed from death into life? Your flesh or your soul and your spirit? So if you're walking in the spirit, you're walking in a new man, that means that if you love the brethren, then we know that we passed from death into life. We know that we're walking in that new man that's alive. We're not walking in that old man that's dead in trespasses and sins. So you can look at it that way. But I do think that it does apply that, listen, there's this unfeigned love of the brethren. And you're just like, I love that person. And that person loves you, you know. And you're just like, why? Because we believe on Christ. And you're just like, really? That's why, you know. But it really is true. And the more you love God and keep his commandments, the more you realize you love the brethren. Think about it. When you go out soul winning and you're out soul winning with people and you're just out there working with people for the Lord, there's this unfeigned love for that person that you're laboring with. And you can't really explain it unless you do it to where you're like, I love that person. That person's over there winning someone to Christ. I love that person. I love that person that's getting saved right there. And there's just this unfeigned love that's there when you're walking in the Spirit, doing the things of God, and that you feel that love that's there. And it's not just this mechanical thing. It's an actual emotion that you have. These bowels of mercies, you know, the emotions that we have, and, you know, that spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But mostly, 1 John is dealing with the fact of knowing when are you walking in the light. Because people are saying, I'm walking in the light. And it's like, you hate your brother. You're not keeping the commandments. You're sinning all over the place. It's like, who are you kidding? You're not walking in the light. You're not abiding in Christ. You're not abiding in the vine if you're just doing all this stuff over here and you're just living in wickedness. That's what this passage is talking about. Now, no, keep reading there. In verse, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So the idea there, and you say, well, how are you abiding in death if you're saved? Again, is your flesh saved? Is your body, the physical body that you have, saved? Or is it dead in trespasses and sins? Your body's still a child of disobedience, a child of wrath. It's still, the wages of sin is death. It's dead in trespasses and sins. So if you're not abiding in the new man, what are you abiding in? The old man. And that old man is death. So if you don't love your brethren, you're abiding in that old man. You're abiding in the flesh, you're not abiding in the new man. Now keep reading there, it says in verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now you're like, oh man, I guess you're not saved if you hate your brother. And I can understand that if people are just reading this off the cuff, that that's what they get. But every verse should have context with the chapter, yea, with the book. How does this book start off? Go to 1 John 1. 1 John 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you what? That eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. So who is with the Father and manifested unto us but Jesus himself? This lines up perfectly, obviously, with John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We know that that's lockstep with what we're dealing with here. So who is the eternal life just talking about eternal life, or is it talking about Jesus? We're talking about Jesus himself is eternal life. Jesus even says to the Father that this is the true God and eternal life. How does the book end? John, 1 John 5 and verse 20. It says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So who's the eternal life? Who's the true God and eternal life? Jesus. Who's the eternal life that was with the Father from the beginning? Jesus. So if you hate your brother, you don't have eternal life abiding in you. You know what you have? You don't have Jesus abiding in you. That's what we're dealing with. And in this chapter, just got done saying that whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Who? Jesus. If you're not abiding in Jesus, then you're sinning. If you're abiding in Jesus, you're not sinning. And that eternal life that was from the beginning, which was with the Father, and that true God, eternal life, is not abiding with you if you're hating your brother. That's what this is dealing with. It's not talking about, like, you don't have eternal life and you're not going to go to heaven. We're talking about Jesus isn't abiding in you. And the book starts off calling Jesus eternal life, ends with calling Jesus eternal life. So, makes sense. And so, and obviously you can go to John 17 dealing with the same thing, that God is called eternal life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? The life. So, that's what this passage is talking about there. And it's talking about abiding in him. And keep reading there. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So notice how the compassion, the kindness, and all that stuff is dealing with your brethren, and the fact that you see your brother have need, and you have this world's good. It's basically saying you have the ability to help them, and you shut up your bowels of compassion. It's basically stating, how can you say the love of God is dwelling in you? It's not saying you're not saved, but you don't have the love of God dwelling in you. You don't have Christ abiding in you. You say, well, you know, I think that if Christ is abiding in you, that means that, you know, you're saved. Well, you can think that that's what it means, but it doesn't The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that we need to abide in the vine, and we need to abide in him and him in us in order to be fruitful. That's what John 15 is dealing with, is abiding in the vine. And if you don't abide in the vine, you can do nothing. So if you want to be not barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't want to be a blind and cannot see afar off, then you need to have brotherly kindness. You need to love the brethren. And 1 John hits on this over and over and over again, on the fact that we need to love one another and we need to love the brethren. Go to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. Think about it. 1 John is just dealing with people saying like, oh, you know, I'm abiding in him, and they don't keep the commandments. It's like, well, then you're a liar. I'm abiding in him, but I hate my brother. Well, then you're a liar, right? You know, you can't say, you know, like, I'm sinning, but I'm abiding in him. No, that's not how it works. Now, what the false prophet will say is that, well, if you're not abiding in him, you're not saved. But nowhere does it say that. It just says that if you don't abide in him, then you can do nothing. If you don't abide in him, you're not going to be fruitful. And if you don't abide in him, you're not going to be his disciples. But that doesn't mean that you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you're not a believer. Okay. Now, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. So notice that what keeps being brought up is people basically saying like, well, no, I love God though. I abide in him. But they do the opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. And he's basically saying, you can't say that you love God and hate your brother. You're a liar then. You don't actually love God if you hate your brother. And it says here in verse 20, keep reading there, it says, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Right? Then it goes on to 1 John 5, 1. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Listen, for you, in order for you to love God who begat you, you have to love those that he has begotten. And it says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So when we love God and keep his commandments, it's evident that we love the children of God because we have this unfeigned love of the brethren and going on from that. Okay, so I hope all that makes sense, because 1 John is one of those passages that unless you understand that old man, new man, and you understand about, you know, walking in the new man, which is abiding in Christ or walking in the Spirit. If you don't understand that, then you're going to go off the rails on false doctrine. But if you understand that and understand, hey, we have this unfeigned love of the brethren. We have this new man that is sinless, right? The new man, the inner man that cannot sin, for his seed remaineth in him. We have that there. We need to manifest it. We need to walk in it. In order to walk in it, we need to abide in Christ. And in order to abide in Christ, you need to love your brother and you need to keep his commandments. That's as simple as bottom self as you can get, right? You're like, how do I abide in Christ? Keep his commandments and love your brother. There you go, right? And then everything else will take care of itself. And by the way, it's a commandment to love your brother. So just keep his commandments and you'll be good to go. So, because all the law and the prophets is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you know, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So love God and love your neighbor. There you go. That's how you walk in the Spirit. Now, like I said, the Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times and a brother is born for adversity. And the idea of that close relationship of a brother and the fact that we need to have a close-knit relationship with brethren and the Lord. You know, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we need to love each other as brethren, but why not take it a step further and be friends, right? Because it's kind of like you have this low mark, like, don't hate your brother. It's a sin to hate your brother. You know, you're like a murderer if you hate your brother. If you're angry with your brother without a cause, what are you called? A murderer. If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. So don't do that. But how about we take it a step further and say, hey, you know what? Why don't we be friends to where that's even closer than a brother, right? there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, because you can be brothers and obviously have a close relationship and love one another, but then you can be friends and be brothers at the same time, right? I think of my brothers, you know, like I lived with my younger brother, Joseph and I were always working on something and like hanging out and stuff like that. We're brothers, we're blood, right? We're also friends. And that's the way it should be. It shouldn't just be like, I'm going to love you because we're related. You know, and it's just because of that. But ultimately, that should be there, right? That should be your baseline, right? Hey, we're brethren in Christ. I'm going to love you because we're brethren in Christ. But we shouldn't just be like, okay, that's the bare minimum. We should bring it up a notch and say, hey, let's be friendly to one another. Let's stick closer than a brother, right? Let's you know, it's kind of like Jesus he's not ashamed to call his brethren, but then he also says to his disciples, I call you no more servants, but friends. And talk about how the servant doesn't know his master's will, but the friends do. But it says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And he that hath friends must show himself friendly. So when it comes to being God's friend, we need to keep his commandments. When it comes to being friends with others, obviously keeping God's commandments is going to open the door for you to obviously be friends with everybody else, because you're being like God, you're being godly, and you're being kindly affectionate one to another. But that's where it comes into being friendly. And when I think of being like brotherly kindness, I think of being friendly, right? Being nice, being friendly, and all that. So that doesn't mean we can't joke around. You know, it doesn't mean we can't make fun of each other every once in a while. But obviously there's lines to everything, right? When it comes to where you've gone too far. Where you cut too deep, right? When that joke was just a little too much truth in there, right? You know? And so, but all that to say is that, you know, we should take it a step further than just loving each other because we must and because it's commanded of us. We should take it a step further where, hey, we're friends. So, and you all, I'm sure, know what I'm talking about. That there's people that you're like, I love them because they're a brother in Christ. But that's where it stops. Right? I'm not going to hate them because they're a brother in Christ. And listen, there's going to be people like that. You're not going to like everybody. You're not going to be friends with everybody, and that's fine. I don't believe the Bible's teaching us that we need to be friends with everybody or we need to roll with everybody, right? I mean, even when there's people that were casting out devils in the name of Jesus, you know, the disciples were forbidding him. He's like, forbid them not, you know. But at the same time, he wasn't worried about getting them yoked up with him either. So I think of like other churches that are like-minded believers. You know, they believe right on salvation. They're King James Bible only. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to be friends with that church, because there's other doctrines that they have that I don't agree with, and we're just not going to be friends until they get that right. Right? Listen, if a church is right about salvation and they have salvation down, and it's by grace through faith, you can't lose your salvation, they have the King James Bible, and, you know, they say that that's the perfect word of God, but they're not against pedophiles coming into the church, they're not against homos coming into the church, sorry, we're not going to be friends. I love you as a brother, but that doctrine, we can't be friends. Now, if you're pre-trib, we could be friends. I'm going to make fun of your doctrine. So be ready for that. So if you have thick skin and you can take it, then, yeah, sure. But there's certain things that are just going to be off the table when it comes to being my friend or being close-knit with us. No, I mean, there's certain things that just aren't going to happen, but I'm still going to love you as a brother. So I can be angry with you, though, because I have a cause. If you're not doing what you should be doing, if you have some false doctrine that's wrong and wicked and all that. But go to Luke chapter 6 and verse 30. Luke chapter 6 and verse 30. Luke chapter 6 and verse 30. I want you to see what Jesus has to say here. And like I said, when it comes to being kind and courteous, maybe some people just have problems with this in general. It doesn't matter if the person's nice to them or not. They're just mean. There's people out there like that, right? I mean, you could be really nice to them, and you're just like, what? They're like, hey, how are you doing today? What? I'm here, aren't I? You know, it's just like, good night. They're just like grumpy people out there. There's people that just, I mean, it could be a beautiful day outside and they're just, woe is me, you know what I mean? And it doesn't matter how you talk to them or anything like that, they're just not fun to be around. But in Luke chapter 6 and verse 30, it says, "Give to everyone, every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." When I think about being kind or having brotherly kindness, I think about having mercy. Like having mercy on others, maybe when they don't deserve it. Right? Being kind to somebody when ultimately what they deserve is it right back in their face, them reaping what they sow. But the Bible teaches not to render evil for evil or railing for railing. You know, like, we don't want to just put it back in their face. If they're being nasty, it's not like nasty for nasty. You know, it's like when people take the eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, they put it into, like, you were nasty to me, I'm going to be nasty to you, right? That's not what that law was for. That law was for when you maimed somebody or you took their life, right? That's what that law was for. It wasn't these petty things and stuff like that to take to that degree. And that's why it's basically saying love your enemies. And listen, you can have you can have brethren that are enemies. Right? I mean, what is an enemy but an adversary? And are there not brethren that have been adversaries in the Bible? And people that have been against each other that are saved, both saved people? And so this is where it becomes real. This is where you really have to kick this in. To where you need to be kind to the brethren. You need to love the brethren even when they're not kind to you. Even when they're not nice to you. Because even people that aren't saved do that, right? I mean, if someone's nice to them, they're going to be nice to you. You know, like, it's just like that reciprocal type of relationship. And we need to take it to another level where even if they're being nasty to us, we just need to be nice to them. Doesn't mean I'm going to hang out with them. Right? I mean, think about it. If someone's just nasty to me all the time, you think I'm going to be like, hey, let's hang out. Or be like, hey, we're going to go do this over here. Or be like, no, sorry, I'm busy. You know, like, I'm not going to want to hang out with people that are nasty. So they'll either have to change or they're going to not have any friends and they're going to live a lonely life, right? And so, but God is kind unto the unthankful, unto the evil, and we need to be like him. We need to be merciful. I mean, think about the fact that he died for us. And go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And so, like I said, we're always kind of, we're looking to Jesus. We're looking to the way he forgave us, how he laid down his life for us. And we're trying to emulate that, right? And that goes back into being godly. But at the same time, we're trying to emulate that with the brethren. You know, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, right? It's that same kind of, well, hey, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, is the idea is that just like God the Father forgave us because of Jesus, we need to forgive one another. And we need to be, you know, tenderhearted. We need to be pitiful and of tender mercy and, you know, be kind one to another. Now, this is an attribute that we should desire, that I believe everybody does desire, and you know, normal people, that is. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 22. The Bible says here in Proverbs 19, verse 22, it says, the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. I love that ending there. It's just like, basically, like, it's better to be poor and basically telling the truth than be a liar and be rich, right? That's what it's basically stating there, right? But also, the desire of a man is his kindness. And so I believe that the desire of any man is to be a kind person, right? And not to just be like some grumpy old man, right? That should not be our desire. Our desire should be to be kind and to not only be kind, but I want to be perceived as kind. You know, if you had a memory, if you had like what people knew of you, what would you like to be remembered as, right? Being a jerk or being kind? I think most people, I mean, obviously there's weird people out there that be like, I want to be known for being a jerk. Put that on my tombstone. That's my epitaph. You know, like, my moniker of life is just annoying people. And there's people out there like that, don't get me wrong. But I would say that most people, if like I were to die, is people like, you know, Jason was really kind, you know, he was a nice guy. So, obviously I want people to be like, well, he was a good soul winner and all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. On the biblical side. But just in general, if you know, I would want people to think, hey, he was a nice guy. He was nice. He was kind. He wasn't a jerk, right? That's the desire that we should have. How about the virtuous woman? So a man's desire is his kindness. But then when it comes to Proverbs 31 and verse 26, the virtuous woman. Verse 26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So ladies, that you want to be a virtuous woman, then you need to have at the tip of your tongue kindness, that you're kind. Obviously women too, you know, you have that meek and quiet spirit, that you're not like this loud, boisterous type of woman, but that kindness that's there. But that's not just reserved to women, you know, men. It's not like, well, you're a man, you can't be kind, you can't be hard, austere. No, we need to be kind. I mean, Jesus was kind, wasn't he? And I wouldn't say he was a weakling by any stretch of the imagination. He obviously was a strong man. But you can be a strong man and be masculine and be kind. I'm about to go on an Andrew Tate spiel, but I don't want to because I don't have time. But Andrew Tate is not your model, okay? If anybody... I need to stop. I need to stop. I can't stand Andrew Tate, but putting on the new man is putting on kindness. I mean, in Colossians chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but you know, it talks about putting on the new man. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And it goes on to say, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you also, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Which obviously we're going to get to. That's the last thing that's on this list, right? But it's interesting how that kindness is right before that, even in this passage. And we're talking about putting on the new man. We're talking about walking in the new man. We're talking about abiding in Christ. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about adding to faith. We have faith. You have that like precious faith. You have eternal life. You're saved. Spiritually speaking, you have this unfeigned love of the brethren. Spiritually speaking, you no longer sin. Spiritually speaking, righteousness has been imputed unto you, and sin will not be imputed unto you. Spiritually speaking, all that's there, here's what you need to do. Walk in it. Put it on. And the last thing I want to state here is go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. One of this is a passage that I use all the time, out soul winning. It's probably one of the first verses that I bring up usually to when someone gives me the wrong answer, or even the right answer for that matter, that I usually bring up Titus 3:5, and I bring up the fact that it's not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. But I want you to see verse 4 before you get to that verse that I usually bring up. Is in verse 4 it says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Notice that that he puts in the kindness and the love of God. And notice that it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Notice how that kindness and the mercy, right? And that's something that I see coupled a lot when I was studying this out, in the fact that the kindness is coupled with having mercy, forbearing, you know, being, having pity. And how God had this kindness to come and save us. And, you know, that obviously kindness and love are very well linked, but there is a little bit of a nuance there with kindness. If I said that you're loving, or I said that you're kind, right? There's a little bit of a nuance there to where you're like, kind just has this idea of just being like this emotion to it, as far as being kind of gentle, meek, right? There's this idea of this gentle meekness and lowliness to it than just if I just said I love you, right? Or if you say that person's loving. So they both have their place, but I do think that there is, it's not just like they equate each other and all that. And so, but go to Isaiah 54, the last thing I'm going to show you here, dealing with salvation and how kindness and mercy are linked to that. And this passage just kind of came to mind with this in salvation. And it says in Isaiah 54 and verse 7, it says, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." Now, that's what we have when we have salvation, is that we have everlasting kindness that shall not be taken away. That's what we're dealing with. So when it says that after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That is forever. That kindness, that mercy is forever and is not going to depart. It's not going to be taken away. And thank God for God's kindness. But because he was kind toward us to save us and he had mercy on us, we need to be kind and have mercy on our brethren. And that is something that needs to be there if you want to prosper. If you want to have that abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you want to make your calling and election sure, if you don't want to fall, if you want to be, you don't want to be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to have brotherly kindness. That needs to abound. And you know, we need to take it a step further, I believe, and let's try to be friends with one another too. You know, let's take it to the point where we're sticking closer than a brother. So let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for all the souls that were saved today. And Lord, just pray that you'd be with those that we've won out door knocking. Lord, I pray for those that have talked about wanting to come in, maybe getting baptized and all that. Lord, I pray that you would help them to be able to come in. And Lord, just pray that you'd work on their hearts. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we just thank you for salvation and eternal life. Lord, we love you and pray also in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brother Dave will come and sing one more song, and then we'll be dismissed.
All right, take your song books and turn to song 323. Song 323. In your song books, if you would stand, we'll sing More About Jesus, song 323. More about Jesus, what I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see.
Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, of Christ to me. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus in His word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, faithful saints.